Hi there, this is Kendra Adachi, and I host the Lazy Genius Podcast. And I need to make sure that you have heard about the new KFC chicken nuggets. You have never had nuggets like these before, 100% white meat and hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. KFC has been a family favorite for years, and now we can get all of the delicious KFC flavor we love in one amazing chicken nugget. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
It depends on the nipple, it seems. My left nipple is more eager to shed the bandage than my right. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I'm John R. Bray.
And I'm Heather B. Armstrong.
And today, we're gonna jump right into personal hygiene.
Personal hygiene.
All kinds of hygiene.
All kinds of hygiene.
All the hygiene. That's what we're covering.
Hygienics.
Specifically with children who might not appreciate hygiene quite as much as other people.
Well, there are several reasons that I wanted to at least start the conversation. We'll just start with hygiene and see where this goes. We're just going to start down that path.
And this could go any number of directions.
Here it goes. Hold on. Everybody strap in. Was it yesterday? Lita came home and she says, "Mom, I'm walking through the hall yesterday and it smelled like B.O.
Oh, yeah.
I said, that's called 13-year-old boy. And I had this like sudden recollection of remembering like that stench in middle school, like near the gym, like near the boys' locker room. It's like, oh, dude. Oh, my gosh.
That's right. It's a new school. So this is like a new smell.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can say that I remember being that age and not even really knowing that there was a smell. I mean, you don't really pick up on that. Well, it goes one of two ways. You're either one of those boys that just doesn't really pay attention or notice, or it's funny to smell.
Or it's funny.
Like,
or
there's humor
there.
Or you
just don't care. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there's the don't care, but I feel like that's less common. I don't know.
And you were one of the ones who just didn't know?
I mean, I think I picked up on it fairly quickly, but initially you don't, because it's sort of like the frog in the pot of boiling water analogy. It's not like one day you just wake up and you smell miserable. It kind of settles in and you don't really notice it. Right? Everyone else around you might, but if you're around mostly boys your age, then yeah, no.
Yeah.
So the girls notice it, is what you're saying.
I think, I mean, because girls start, you know, to need to take, to shower more often and to do certain things and wear deodorant. I mean, it happens with girls as well. I don't know if biologically it's just worse with sweaty boys. But, like, I mean, as parents, as a mom, you start to notice that your child loses the sweet smell of being a baby, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens before the BO sets in, though.
Yeah.
I mean.
But, yeah, girls, you know, or especially around this age, a lot has to start happening with hygiene. And you've got eyebrows. You've got hair on your head.
which boys do have, but we'll let that be for now.
You've got leg hair, you know, that you have to sort of, you know, because she asked me, like, when she should start shaving her legs. And I said, well, Cammy doesn't shave her legs. You don't really have to. It's not
a law.
It's not a necessity. You know, it's a choice that you make. And I remember, I think I was probably 10 or 11 when I started shaving my legs. And you don't shave your legs. You don't know about this.
you obviously haven't seen my legs. But I think, they're quite a sight, let me tell you. And I'm just guessing here. But, you know, I think the answer you gave her is good, is it's a choice, right? But I think at her age, like at that age, it's not a choice. Like, I think there's the pressure. So it seems like there's only one option, and that is that you do shave, because that tends to be the more common selection.
Yes. And yeah, she's had a really, really, really good, it's like 10 days into school now, and she came home yesterday, and she said that some girls were looking at her a weird way, girls that she did, because this middle school, I think like 3 or 4 elementary schools feed it. And so there's people who knew each other from other schools in their specific little cliques, and a group of girls was looking at her a certain way. And I was like, oh no, please don't let it start this soon.
And she blamed it on her legs. Is that like her immediate, like, it must be the legs?
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm looking at her legs, she's perfectly fine. Like Cammie is going to laugh when she hears this and is going to love that I'm talking about her legs. My friend Cammie does not shave. And we're talking about like hair. She has hair on her legs. Like
you can see it at a distance.
You can see it. You can braid it. You can brush it. It gets tangled.
Oh, wow.
It's just her aesthetic. And shaving your legs is, you know, it's much easier to do in a bathtub than it is standing in a shower, because you got balance and you've got a razor and the cutting. And you understand this because of your face. Do you shave your face?
Ha, ha, ha. I have not shaved like a close shave in probably 2 years. I have like a permanent shadow. I hate shaving. So when I hear women say that they don't like shaving their legs or they don't shave their legs, I'm like, yep, I get it. Have at it, because I cannot stand it. And it always irritates my skin. I've tried probably a dozen razors, tons of different shaving creams, aftershave, everything. It always irritates my skin. And the thing that bugs me, that I think is an added challenge, is that it's your face. So if something goes wrong, there's no like, oh, wear pants. Like, there it is.
For all to see.
Yes. And I don't know. And it takes extra time, and I don't want to take that time. I could use that time elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. How much extra time does it take?
I guess that would depend on if I were to use an electric razor or just a traditional razor.
Okay. So you haven't really taken a razor to your face in how long?
At least 2 years.
Wow.
It's been a while. Well, maybe, actually, you know what? It's probably closer to like a year, year and a half, if we're really counting.
Yeah.
But it's been a while.
You know that you have to get a medically, you have to get a beard card in order to have a beard at BYU.
You started with medically?
Yeah. Like if you have a medical condition where like it really irritates your skin or...
Are you serious? Like you can't have facial hair without a medical condition?
Without a medical condition, and a doctor has to sign off on the fact that you have a medical condition that prohibits you from taking a razor to your face.
Wow.
That's, a beard card.
That's intense.
And you have to show the beard card at the testing center in order to take a test if you have a beard. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
I just
no.
thought of that.
I had a beard for maybe 4 months. I never really loved it. And I suddenly began to look a lot like my dad. So I don't, it's never long. It's not like scraggly.
It's not like Amish?
No, it's not. I mean, it's hardly even a shadow. I shave as close as I possibly can without actually shaving it all off.
You use an electric razor?
An electric trimmer, yes.
Electric trimmer.
An electric trimmer.
That would be great if you can make those for legs, but you would never get it. You don't get a close enough shave. Yeah.
Well, close enough by what standard, though? I mean, really, you could.
I guess you could. I don't know. I just don't like the mechanics of shaving legs is, yeah, it's a learned art. It's a learned science. I know that sounds so strange.
It's like nurture over nature.
But you have like ankles you have to maneuver around and knees and the back of your leg. And you have to decide if you're going to shave the entire leg. I remember I walked into my mom was sitting in the living room with a few of her friends talking. And I walked in and I was like, I think I'm going to shave all the way up to my hip. And like every woman in the room was agog. They were like, what are you doing? No one does that. Like, you only shave the bottom portion of your leg, like the shin and that part, the shin and the calf,
like the part that sticks out of,
yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, no, like if I'm gonna be in a bathing suit, I don't want people to see hair on the top of my legs. And one woman looked at me and she says, once you go, you can never go back.
Wow.
Which
That's
is
some pretty serious stuff.
I explained that to Lita. I was like, once you start shaving your legs, you have to sort of continue doing so.
Is it like a painful transition if you stop then?
Well, it just comes in thicker
when
you start to shave.
Gotcha.
Yesterday, I was emailing back and forth with a coworker of mine from the place that fired me from my website.
Wow.
He's my age. He's 41 and he has a 2 month old. A 2 month old.
Man.
He has a 2 year old and a 2 month old. And we were catching up and I was like, listen, people told me this all the time and you just don't believe it, but like it goes by so fast. So here I am, my baby girl, and I am going to have to teach her and guide her in the ways of womanhood. It is here. It is like happening. It is happening.
Like right now.
Like right now. Like I remember thinking, one day, you know, I'm going to get to talk to my daughters about menstruation. And I'm going to talk to them about shaving their legs. Well, here it is. It's here.
And you get to do it all again down the road.
Yeah.
So this is like a practice run.
This is a practice run, yes.
Sorry, Lita.
And I know that boys have hair on their head, but Lita's hair, my hair has thinned as I've gotten older, and so has her father's hair. But like John's hair, Jex's hair, and my hair growing up, we both just had gigantic, untamable manes on our heads, and so we've given that to our children. And so Lita's hair is super, super thick, and it's you know, it's a lot of management. It takes a lot of time.
Well, but I think part of that though is that she wants it to look good, whereas so Lexton, he has very thick hair, and he has that great like wavy hair that you could do any number of brilliant things with. He doesn't do any of them. So there have been times, and I don't always think to check, because for me, it's, you know, you glance in the mirror, make sure things are good. Like, that's just something I do. So half the time we get somewhere, now school, we'll get there, and I look at him in the car. I'm like, did you look in the mirror? He's like, no, why? No, don't worry about it. Just go to, I mean, it's like the worst kind of five cow licks and all of it. And it doesn't even faze him. He'll kind of run his hand over there and be like, oh yeah. And then he's gone. Like, it just doesn't matter.
So, I mean, that's a typical 12-year-old boy, right?
Exactly. And I think that like maybe if he cared about it and he wanted it cut at a certain length regularly and he wanted different hair products, and then it would become a big ordeal. But it's that aspect of caring that just isn't there. And I think it's the maturity. Like 100%. I think that that's what triggers it.
Yeah. Like we're having to do like skincare regimens. Like, you know, washing the face with a certain facial soap and then a certain facial moisturizer. And like there's a lot of hygiene things happening here over here. Like, in Washington. Like, it took me, and it's still, we're still in this process. I'm still getting Lita to wash and condition her hair properly because of its texture and because of its length and because it's so thick that, like, I want to do it for her, but of course she's old enough to do it herself. But it, at the same time, it's like, okay, listen, like, this is how you have to wash it, and this is how you have to condition it in order for it to work. And yeah, it's so when we, so on the nights when we take showers, I have to set aside a lot of time. It's a whole thing. It's just a lot of work
for you as well. That's the hard part.
Yeah. Yeah, because I want to supervise, just because otherwise it's sort of done half-assedly, and I'm I sound so fucking neurotic right now.
But for me, so I'm sort of like that with face washing. So he always brushes his teeth and washes his face in the morning, and it got to the point where one or two times I stood in the bathroom, I'm like, why don't you wash your face and just let me see what you're doing? Because I have these flashbacks of, you know, zits in high school and middle school and how humiliating it was. So for some reason, this PTSD makes me want to, like, try to prevent that for him. And so he gets the face wash on his hands and, like, just on his palms, no fingers, and then just sets his palms lightly on his cheeks and rubs them in little tiny circles. And that's it. Like, there was no forehead, nose, chin, nothing. I'm like, okay, now look in the mirror and tell me what other parts are on your face, because this is insane. And it's just this, to me, it's like, you should just do it to do it. But I feel like what's going to have to happen is he's going to get this massive zit in an incredibly noticeable spot. And then be like, oh, now I see.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that feeling, and it was horrible at the time. Looking back, it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. But at the time, it was devastating. Even for a boy. Maybe not all boys, but honestly, it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Acne. Oh, gosh.
But the fact that you have to, like, supervise that, like, he could never wash his face, and it's not going to affect me at all. Like, the only person that's going to suffer the negative consequences is him, but he doesn't care. That part I don't get.
So we have to care for him.
I know. But that should have stopped. He's like 12 now. That's done. He's on his own.
No. It's never done. It's never done. Just ask my mom.
Yeah, that's yeah. It just continues into adulthood. It just changes forms and the caring becomes more complex.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Marlo, she can shower, but she still loves to take baths, and you know, it, washing her hair in the bathtub is, you know, I still have to get down. I'm an old woman now, getting down on a stool to wash her hair, bending over the bathtub. I'm like, ow, my back. I threw out my back washing her hair. But the frequency now of like they need to be bathed more often because they're getting older, and BO.
BO is real, people.
BO is real. But like for personal purposes, like, I mean, I work out a lot and I shower, and I don't even want to admit this, but like I can go a very long time without washing my hair. What, and
like, like 4 days, like a week.
Like, what are we talking about? I can go a week.
Okay.
Yeah. They make really incredible dry shampoos now, but part of it is that I live in a climate where that makes it possible. Like, it's super, super, super dry in Utah. People notice it like within 10 minutes of being in Utah, just how dry it is. In fact, when I first went to BYU, I didn't know. Oh my gosh, flashback to the acne. I didn't know. No one told me that it was a different sort of, I mean, it's a strikingly different climate than the one that I grew up in. I grew up in very, very humid, wet, like I never had to use moisturizer on my face. I didn't know what moisturizer for your face was growing up.
Yes, it was nature.
Yeah. And in fact, like in the middle of the day, like I remember having to pat down the oil on my face because of the moisture in the air. And so when I got to BYU, I remember within a couple of days, my knuckles and fingers started to bleed because they were so dry and I didn't know what was happening. And then my face got really weird. And I was asking one of my roommates and she's like, oh, you have to use moisturizer. So I asked my mom to send me moisturizer and she, cause she was working for Avon and she sent me body cream, which you don't use on your face.
Totally different skin.
You don't use body lotion on a 19-year-old, 18-year-old, 17-year-old face.
Right.
And so I slathered that body lotion all over my face, man. And do you remember the horrible insult that kids used to call him pizza face? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was you?
That was me for a couple of months until I realized, there's actual moisturizer that people use for faces.
Now, did your mom not know what you needed it for or what was the...
Yeah, I think I had just said, I need some moisturizer. And she was like, here's some stuff for your hands and stuff for your elbows.
Okay.
Not stuff for your face. That was a hard lesson learned.
Memorable few months.
Mm-hmm.
It is quite dry. I mean, I've only been to Salt Lake City one time. But during that short trip, I had to change a tire on the side of the interstate in 90-degree weather before boarding a flight an hour later. So if we want to talk about hygiene, I guarantee you I was not fresh on that plane.
What? I did not know that you had to change a tire when you were here?
I did. Well, I left early because there was a family emergency. Heather Hex's mom had fallen and hurt herself actually pretty severely, and I was leaving early, so I spent all this time and changed my flights and moved it up early, and it was like, the airport is relatively close, so it's a quick drive, and I think my flight was in an hour and a half. I threw everything in the car, got on the interstate, was on the interstate for 20 minutes, maybe, and then a tire blew. So I called, I think it was Hertz, I called the car rental place. They said, well, we can be there in an hour and a half. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. So... out, and it was the back driver's side wheel, so it was on like the road side, and it was hot. I mean, it was so hot, and I'm just
it's a different kind of heat, yeah.
Pouring sweat in the blazing sun, changing a tire, thinking someone's gonna stop because that's what people do in the nice state of Utah. That never happened. And then I got to the airport and got through security, and Hertz called. They're like, "Well, the tow truck's on the way." I said, "Yep, don't worry about it."
Oh man,
yeah, it was terrible.
I'm sorry that, yeah, Mormons are nice, but when it comes to hospitality, like, Tennessee has us beat.
Yeah. Well, those are my Salt Lake memories. That was how I finished my time there.
People, whenever, like, I have visitors, I'm always very frank, and it's like, you're going to wake up in the morning, and you're going to wonder what crawled it up into your nose. You're just going to wonder. Boogers in Salt Lake City are unlike boogers anywhere else. They just like it's
like extreme.
It's just
hard.
It's just so dry and so dusty, and it's a different experience here. Yeah, you gotta be prepared for what's going on in your sinus cavities.
Well, here it just all pours out. I mean, the humidity is like 90% and nothing stays anywhere,
mm-hmm.
Which means the deodorant at the start of the school year is especially important.
Yes.
Although most don't acknowledge that.
And I don't remember when I started wearing deodorant. But now I still wear deodorant, but and then somebody told me that deodorant causes Alzheimer's.
Isn't that, though, antiperspirant?
Is it?
For some reason, I feel like antiperspirant is the bad thing because your body is supposed to sweat, but it doesn't have to smell. I switched to a natural deodorant because it works and it says all organic, so it makes me feel like I'm not going to get Alzheimer's.
You use an organic deodorant.
Organic and natural, thank you very much.
Does it have a smell?
It has a slight smell. It's a very friendly, woodsy, but not in a, like, mossy kind of way.
Does Lexton use it as well?
He does. I've gotten, like, so many different kinds of deodorant because I'm hoping that maybe there'll be one that for some reason he gets really attached to and remembers to put it on his own. But he doesn't. If I don't tell him to do it, he won't. But I at least feel better that he's using the natural one because, I don't know, it's probably just a load of shit, to be honest with you. But it works.
Yeah.
It's Ursa Major, if anyone's curious.
Ursa Major.
Ursa Major. They're based out of Vermont. It's a pretty cool company, actually.
Okay. I will make a note of that. I get sent a lot of stuff.
A lot of deodorant and hygiene products. A lot of deodorant,
moisturizer, shampoo. I have a closet full of just stuff that different companies have sent me. And,
stuff, though? I mean, stuff you want to use, or is it like, eh?
Really good stuff. Really good stuff. Yeah. I think a lot of us who do this get sent the same stuff. There was a company that sent me a whole bunch of shampoo and detangler and conditioner, and it came in this cute bag with a notebook and a pen. And
really,
I say,
like, document your hair washing experience. Was that the idea?
I don't know. It was like this cute little sunshiny, like, you know, if we include the notebook and the pen and the bag, like, this package is going to be so adorable that you're going to want to write about it, right?
In the notebook with the pen.
Mm-hmm.
Squeal.
I save the notebook. I have a stack of notebooks sitting on the kitchen countertop where I make notes and make grocery lists. And when the kids got home from New York, Marlo had the notebook, and I'm like, why did you take that off the kitchen counter? And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? Like, I had this on the airplane coming home. So, like, John's girlfriend does what I do, and she obviously got sent the same package.
So she had the same notebook laying around?
Yeah.
Ah, there we go. Well, it's got to be like a standard media package, right?
Yeah, that they send out to all the bloggers on their list. I'm on a list.
There's no way you can use all that. I mean, you've got to get so much to the point where either you have, like, a fallout shelter's worth supply,
mm-hmm.
or you just can't go through it all. Especially if you wash your hair once a week.
There's probably weeks where people are going to...
I mean, let's just be honest.
Oh, my gosh. I would be curious to know how many women are willing to admit that, who actually do that. Like, my hairstylist doesn't wash her hair but once a week. It's better for your hair.
They recommend that for men as well. Honestly, I can't not wash my hair after a run. Like, we've been over this. I sweat.
I know.
In a profound manner. So I feel like I can't. I mean, maybe that's just a myth. Maybe it's totally cool anyway. But something just makes me think that it's a better idea to wash it than not.
I can't. When my hair was short, I washed it much more frequently than I do now. I can't imagine having short hair and going a week without washing it.
Why, no. though? Like, what's the difference? Because the weight of long hair kind of keeps it in control.
The oil starts at your scalp and moves its way down.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius Podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
How are your nipples, by the way?
Well, since we're going to talk about hygiene, my nipples are destroyed. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how, and I think this must be a male thing, because women have the sports bras when they run. There's nothing I can do. I've had chafing stick. I've tried nades. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they stay on. Sometimes they pop off. But it's terrible, honestly.
There's got to be a solution for your nipple shaving. Well, there's got to be.
So
maybe you need a sports bra.
If someone out there knows of one they make for men, please let me know. I will wear it with pride because even sitting here right now, I can feel my nipples. I shouldn't be able to feel my nipples. That's not right. It's just not. The best thing I found are the little tiny circle bandages that perfectly fit. But if they get snagged on my shirt or something and come off, then it's just all hell breaks loose.
Well, I can't imagine, like, so you sweat profusely, and wouldn't the sweat cause the Band-Aids to come off?
Depends on the brand and the material of the Band-Aid, I have discovered after buying multiple boxes of Band-Aids. And it depends on the nipple, it seems. My left nipple is more eager to shed the bandage than my right.
Oh, my God. I love this.
This is the reality of, I mean, and honestly, like, I don't know. I've talked to a number of people that are like, yeah, just use the chafing stick. And so I don't know what my problem is because apparently that works for everybody but me.
No,
I don't know.
The chafing stick.
I mean, you've been running. You know men that run. Am I the only one who has nipple issues? Please don't say yes. Okay.
No. I mean, I know of ultra runners who still bleed, you know, 15, 16, 20 miles in. Still, they're bleeding, you know.
Oh, yeah,
they finish a run and they're covered in blood from their nipples, bleeding.
Okay, so it's not abnormal. I just have to suck it up.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Ah, gosh, thinking about it. No.
It's horrible. If anyone out there is wondering what it's like, it's horrible. It's like you lit a match and blew it out and then immediately pressed it on your nipple for 10 miles. It's crazy. And I just ran 9 miles and I realized 2 miles in, I'm like, oh shit, I forgot the bandages. And I knew it was going to be bad. Ugh. And it was horrible and I'm still paying for it.
And so like afterward, like in the shower, is it just like stinging and?
Oh yes, it's searing pain. So if for some reason I get home and I forget, just after I get home and take my shoes off and everything, I forget that it happened. I remember right away. I mean, like doubling over pain.
How weird would you look if you were wearing a sports bra?
Exceptionally weird. A friend of mine suggested just cutting out nipple holes in all of my shirts. So I would look much less weird than that, I think.
Or don't wear a shirt.
Yes, that's also an option.
Yeah.
Which is probably what I'm going to go to because I feel like nothing else will actually work. But you have to wear a shirt in the marathon. So at the same time, I feel like at least by wearing a shirt, my body's sort of getting used to it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just telling myself that. It's probably going to be miserable either way.
Yeah. Yeah. I really have no advice for you there. I really don't. I mean, I covered all my entire like torso in shaving stick for the Boston. And because I trained like I was supposed to train, like there wasn't much chafing at all. Because usually for women, like around the bra line or where your shirt hits you. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. So sorry about your nipples.
Everything else has been fine. Like no other issues except for the one blue toenail. But that particular area,
your toenails. Oh, man.
It's still hanging on. We're not going to talk about the toenail. It's still there for now. It's looking extra dark.
Do not yank out the toenail. It has to come out itself.
Oh, if I were to try to yank it out, I would pass out. I couldn't even approach that. No.
It's blue or is it black?
It's kind of a happy medium. Sometimes it looks more blue. Sometimes it looks more black.
So I lost two toenails in the training for Boston. And the second one finally fell off. Oh, gosh. When was that? Like 2.5 weeks ago? Yeah.
So it really hangs on. Did it hurt?
No.
Okay, because mine doesn't hurt. I still have feeling. It's fine. It just looks very dark.
It's, yeah, it can hurt at about mile 26.
And then you just have to run that last quarter
yep.
with a painful
but
toe.
But at that point, though, like every part of your body hurts. So you're not really concentrating on one thing. You know, your nipples are hurting. Your toenails are hurting. You really want to murder every single person standing around you. So, yeah.
Well,
it's not a big deal.
My experience with the distance has been like the worst part of running for me is, you know, the first 4 to 6 miles. Like after that, and especially after I pass 10, it's just kind of, just going to keep doing it because yep. I'm already here. I mean, my farthest run so far has been 16 miles. And I'm not saying it was a delightful experience that I skipped through, but by the time I hit 10, like the last six, it's like, well, I'm already out. Might as well just keep going. Like it's just habitual at that
Congratulations on that, by the way. That's huge. That's huge. And people probably don't know this, but I'm going to be, and you and I need to coordinate this, but I'm going to Chicago to support the team. And I'm going to try to raise some money, but I can't. My doctor and my primary care physician and my therapist and my psychiatrist all basically said you can't run the marathon.
Well, my nipples are giving you the big old middle finger right now. not gonna lie. The support will be good, though.
Yes, I will. I will be in Chicago. I will run to several different parts of the race to cheer you on, but I can't run it for the sake of my mental health.
So general sanity.
General sanity, the hygiene of my brain.
Brain hygiene.
Brain hygiene.
Look at that. It came like full circle.
It did. I'm a whopping dose of vitamin D and my kids are home and and I'm not running relentlessly.
Running really yourself into the ground really is what it would be.
Yeah. It did something to my adrenal system. Some people call it a myth that like adrenal fatigue is not an actual medical diagnosis, but my body now under extreme conditions, my body's just like, please don't do this again. Like we cannot withstand that kind of stress. And like in certain workouts, I'll be working out at the gym. And when it gets really, really intense, my body's like, instead of getting the high that I used to get, and instead of pushing through and being like, oh, this feels really good to do this many reps of this or whatnot, my body's like, no, please don't. Please stop. So
I gave you a lot of credit while you were training before. I really did. And I didn't think it was easy. But it is safe to say that I did not fully comprehend it until now because – holy shit. There's no break. It's nonstop. There's really no recovery. And I've just acknowledged that I don't think I'm not a distance runner. Like 4 to 6 miles, I'm happy. It feels good. My body feels good. 10, 12, 16, that I just don't get any joy from that.
Yeah.
I don't. And I'm glad that people do. It's just not for me at all.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I'm glad that I'm doing it. I want to push myself to do it. And I think the experience of it has already been incredible and will continue to be incredible. I just don't know. You know, there's been a number of people that have said, oh, wait until you do your first marathon. Then you'll do another one and another one and another. I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
I just don't think I enjoy the distance quite as much as some of those people who can run marathons with a big old grin. I can tell you I will not have a grin. Anyone who sees me, it will be the exact opposite of a grin. And I'll be covered in blood. It will be like a murder scene by the half marathon point.
And you're running for a maternal health organization, and at the end it'll look like you've given birth.
Seriously. I'm so glad that I'm doing this for such a great cause. Like that makes the torture worthwhile.
Yeah. I can't imagine doing a marathon just because I was going to do a marathon.
Like for fun by choice.
For fun.
And there are people that do it for fun.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get that. I don't know.
There's a woman who follows me on Instagram, and we've messaged each other a few times, and she's always given me encouragement running. And she was posting that. Can we just complain for a second about those Instagram moments? Have you seen the new feature on Instagram?
That's like Snapchat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't used it. I know what it is. Like stories. Is it Instagram stories?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You're not a fan?
Like, I don't want to open Instagram anymore.
Really? That bad?
Yeah. Like, it's destroyed the experience for me.
Is it built right into the feed?
Yeah, it's at the top of the feed. I don't know if I can, like, I haven't even, like, I hate going near it because I've seen a few of them, and I'm just an old cranky, I'm an old cranky bitch is what I am. Because I seriously want, I'm like, how do you people have the fucking time to fucking do this? Who has the fucking time? Not only that, it disappears. So it's not, you don't even have a record of it. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can save it like permanently to your phone, but it fucking disappears. How the fuck do you have the time?
So you're not a fan?
Is what you're saying. I'm not a fan. And when I watch it and I'm like, this is so, what is fucking wrong with everything?
This is why, like, we can't have nice things. That's what it is.
I don't know because I'm sure I'm going to say something and then I'm going to contradict, you know, I'm going to contradict myself and engage.
One of your great stories.
And I don't know. I look at it and I'm going through and I'm like, the consumption and the indulge,
It depends on, I think, what you, I mean, I have not seen Instagram stories. My phone is ready to die. I haven't even updated the app, to be honest with you. But like Snapchat, I use Snapchat. I think I use Snapchat with 6 people. And it's kind of a fun way to just send mindless shit back and forth. Mm-hmm. Without it filling up your text feed and taking up space on your phone, you can just send ridiculous videos, photos, whatever.
Right.
So I like that aspect of it. And then it disappears. So no one has to deal with storing that junk. But if people are actually taking Instagram stories in a different direction, then I can't really comment on it.
Oh, people are using it like, here's my outfit of the day, and they're going through and naming off the brand, and then they're taking questions and they're answering, doing Q&As and behind the scenes, and I look at it and it's like, man.
So it's all the Instagram photos that I don't like live.
Yes.
Awesome. Those are the best. The ones with like 15 brands tagged in the photo, but they're all casually posed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No, one of my friends moved from San Francisco. She and her husband moved from San Francisco to Portland to live basically on a farm. And they have goats and chickens. And I would watch those goats.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will watch those goats all day long.
See, there's always a silver lining. It's the goats.
Yes, it was the goats. Well, I think what brought me to this topic was that this woman was with a group of her friends and they were running a marathon in the hills down, I think, near Provo, Utah. And it was like a Saturday morning. And I was like, she just got up and ran a marathon in the mountains. She just got up and did it.
And like looked forward to it. Like that was fun.
It was Instagramming, like the Instagram storying as she was running. And like, hey, look how beautiful it is up here, mile 12. And I'm like, what? What?
She was Instagramming in the middle of it?
Yeah, and super happy. And some people were born to run. We are not those people.
No, that's pretty clear. I know. I think my favorite part about it is how much I get to consume after I'm done, because it's a lot. And I think that's what I spend my time running thinking about, is what I'm going to eat when I get home.
And you haven't gained any weight, have you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so there's a trade-off. You have bleeding nipples. I gain weight when I run.
Well, I bleed the weight out of my nipples.
Uh-huh.
It's a strategy, carefully planned. I'm probably not eating enough, which is actually probably what it is, because I can't. I get so hungry, but I can't eat enough in one sitting, so I have to plan out snacks. Mm-hmm. And I'm bad at that, I guess. And now I'm so busy packing school lunches that I don't have time.
Oh, so Lita is now eating school lunches
because they have hot lunch, like at school?
At school.
Wow.
And fucking I love it. I deposit money in an online little bank account and I don't have to pack her lunch. It is awesome. And I just, you know what? I don't have to, it's just like, are you getting calories? Fantastic.
See, great. That is excellent because Lexton likes what they serve for lunch and will eat it. But standing in line just takes too much time.
What?
That's the reason. I'm like, okay, what? For one, you don't even eat the whole lunch I send you with. So clearly it doesn't really matter. Like time, you can just stand with your friends. But that's the reason, is that by the time I get down to the lunchroom, I don't want to stand in line. I just want to sit and eat.
Oh, my God.
So it's lunch.
Well, tell him he has no choice.
If you want food, you're going to stand in line. It could, but I think, like, I always ask, like, well, don't a lot of your friends get lunch at school? And he'll just name off, like, person after person after person after person who brings a lunch. Like, so really most kids that you know don't. So that doesn't really help my case. You know, then again, most kids that he knows eat their lunch completely. He does not.
He does not finish his lunch. Neither does Marlo.
I have gotten to the point where I send him with half a sandwich, and he still doesn't eat that. But if I send him with a whole sandwich, then he throws away more than half of it. And it's so frustrating. And I know because I don't know if this is like passive aggressive, but he brings it home and throws it away at home. So like he'll come home and empty out all of his stuff. And then I go to throw something away in the kitchen and there's 3/4 of a sandwich that I made that morning. And I don't even fight it anymore.
Does he come home ravenously hungry?
It depends. He kind of, I mean, he's tall and thin, like lanky. And he has access to food, but I think for him, food takes time away from doing other more exciting things. So he eats just enough to not feel hungry anymore and then stops.
Huh.
Which means if he had it his way, I mean, even in the summer, he would want snacks every hour and a half. But then you'd say, okay, well, it's lunchtime. Here's lunch. And he would eat half of it.
Interesting.
It is. It's just eat enough to get me by.
Marlo does the same thing where she eats like half the sandwich and then she eats like 2 of the grapes that I send and like half of the fiber bar. And then she comes home and wants to raid the kitchen. But the problem is that raiding the kitchen at that point disturbs the dinner.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you got to eat the lunch that I pack you so that when you get home, you don't eat so much that you're not hungry for dinner. And it's a cycle that I have to stay on top of because otherwise it ruins every meal.
Yeah. It changes the whole
time. So much work.
It's such a minor thing. That's why I said I don't even comment on it anymore because it doesn't do any good. There were times I'm like, you really have to eat your whole lunch. Okay. He'd come home and it'd be the same thing. Like no different. But the fact, I mean, you send fruit. That's so cute. I don't even try anymore. Like, what will you eat? Here is a bag of sugar. Just, if it's going in your body, I'm happy. But it's always the same thing. It's an almond butter and jelly sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And goldfish or something like goldfish. And then some sort of a treat. Because it's looked forward to. The treat is always consumed.
Well, so
the sandwich is half consumed. The goldfish are half consumed. And I would say 80% of the time, the juice pouch comes home unopened. How do you eat this without any kind of a beverage? I don't understand.
Well, what I think is really interesting, especially about our kids, is I get sent a lot of press releases for, you know, here's this campaign going on for kids eating healthier and this is going on and here's this app to teach our kids to eat better and have better food choices. And my whole take is, please just get my kid to eat food. I just want my kid to eat.
Just to eat enough.
Just eat enough so that they're not, I just want my child to consume food. Is there an app for that?
an app that forces them to eat?
I mean, I want them to make healthy food choices, so I model healthy food choices for them. You know, Marlo notices that I don't consume meat. So, like, she's noticing it, but, like, I'm consuming food in the hopes that they will see me consuming food and they will be like, oh, I should eat as well. Let me put food into my body.
That's wishful thinking, though.
Yeah.
Just enough. I mean, honestly, Lexton eats really good foods. He's not a picky eater. I mean, he'll eat all sorts of fruits and vegetables. And there's obviously, you know, the certain things that he detests, but he eats a really good variety of things. It's just never enough. Or if it's something that he's not crazy about, he'll eat just enough of it. And then, you know, instead of a snack before bed, it's like, all right, let's do dinner number two. Like, yeah, that's not an option, though. It's just,
right.
It's just not. I'm not going to. The kitchen is clean. We're not dirtying anything else. If you can eat it out of your hands, then you can have it.
Exactly.
Too much time and effort.
Oh, man.
And then it puts pressure on, like, breakfast big time, at least on my end, because I know he's not going to eat a big lunch. So I'm like, let me stuff you full of food in the morning. Because at least that will get you closer to the end of the day before you start to run out of energy.
Yep. I buy Honey Nut Cheerios 3 boxes at a time.
Oh, yeah.
Those
are on regular rotation.
She eats that much. Yeah.
So she eats a lot, though?
She will eat a half a box of Cheerios in the morning.
Shut up. Really?
Oh, yeah. And I'm like,
oh, my God.
I'm like, fucking A.
Eat those Cheerios. You're eating calories.
Awesome. You are eating. This is great. Awesome. Yay.
Just those specifically? I mean.
Those specifically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a hell of a lot of cereal. That's like more cereal than I could eat.
And she'll pour another bowl and she'll go, I'm sorry, this is my last one. And I looked at her one time and I said, you don't ever have to apologize for pouring another bowl of cereal. Yeah. You're eating. Yay.
And she was sort, or maybe still is, sort of a picky eater.
Oh,
I know. Yeah. I know about the bananas, but I think I remember reading that she's selective. We'll say selective.
Selective. She is discerning.
There you go.
She is very discerning. So when she finds something that she likes, man, I am all over it. She's like, yay, you were eating food. Fantastic.
That makes it even more impressive that she's getting school lunch. Like if she is a picky eater.
That's, they serve pizza. Oh. And tacos. Well,
so there we go. All right. But like you said, food is being consumed. So really it makes no difference.
Right. Somebody's going to be like, somebody needs to go over there and help that Armstrong lady with her children and their food. But nope. I'm going to let you take Lita for a week and see if you can get her to eat something with color. Let's see.
She's eating and you don't have to make the lunch. That's like a win-win. Mm-hmm. In so many different ways.
It's like, she is halfway out of this house.
that's one way to think of it. So,
yep.
I don't know how we got to food. I guess in some ways, food is probably the basis of good hygiene, right? Complexion.
I think so. Like my kids, we just went to the dentist and my kids' teeth look great. Which at their age, my teeth looked terrible because I had a horrible diet. But so do my kids. I think I'm better about, like, I'm really on top of them about brushing their teeth and that sort of thing. So.
And do you do a lot of pop or soda or soda pop?
We do no soda.
Okay.
We don't. We do very little juice. They drink mostly water.
That helps.
That's the one thing I've been really strict about is... No, they sneak soda when they're with my mom because my mom is a turd.
Obviously, they're not really sneaking it.
Yeah, but they don't have, we do not have soda or juices in the home.
Okay. Yeah, we don't do soda. Soda's more of a special treat thing. Mm-hmm. Juice sometimes, but it's got to be decent juice that's, you know, more than 10% actual fruit because I'm picky.
Yeah. I think I was consuming Coca-Cola in a bottle when I was growing up.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up with a lot of soda. So I had good teeth as a kid, too. I actually didn't get my first cavity until I was like 29. So.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. And then I got another one a year later. So obviously something is quickly deteriorating. It's all downhill.
It is all downhill. just wait. At least you're not like bending over the bathtub to wash his hair and standing up and being like, oh, I'm not going to be able to stand up straight for a few days.
No, I'm so glad that baths are a thing of the past. I didn't like them at the time. I dread them. No. I'm sure if that was an option, he would choose a bath over a shower. But I wouldn't have to do anything. I just hate them. Mm-hmm. Like everything about them. So I feel for you there. For you and your back.
Thank you.
Between your back and my nipples, we're just falling apart.
I just want to be understood. Thank you.
Mission accomplished.
So yeah. How often do you wash your hair, everybody?
And how do you get your kids to clean their bodies, like, by choice? Honestly, that would be, if I could master that, that would be great. Mm-hmm.
With Marlo, what I do is I buy toys for the bath. And she's like, can we please take a bath today? And it's like, yes, we can.
But then you still have to do, like, the hair washes. So she just plays. But you're actually still doing it. So it gets her to the location, but the process, you know.
Yep. More work. More work for us.
Yes. It's never ending. And that's why we love it.
And that's why we love it.
But really, strategies, bring them on. Or horror stories. That's fine, too.
Yeah. How did you teach your daughter how to shave? That one, yeah.
There you go. Heather could use that. Me, not so much. And nipple suggestions, please. Oh, anything. I am game for
nipple suggestions. Please send your nipple suggestions to stories@manicramblings.com. We would love your nipple suggestions.
You could also direct them to our social media on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram @manicramblings. But that will probably generate an interesting assortment of comments. So you can do that at your own risk.
And you could also reference John's nipples in a review in the iTunes store. Where else would you leave a review? I don't know.
Probably just the iTunes store.
Probably just scream at us.
That would work.
On social media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All caps.
All caps. That's my brand. I can't do that. Copyrighted that. But yeah, we would love to hear from you, and it's good to be back. And I said that we said that last week. Whatever. I'm going
to
shut up now.
It's still good to be back.
It's still good to be back.
It's always good.
Also, if you have suggestions for really good dry shampoo, I'd love to hear that since my hair is going on day 6 right now.
Ooh, that means tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Big day.
Big day. Yes, until next time.
Oh, until next time, don't wash your hair. That's 7 days.
Excellent. Excellent. Good job, John. Good job. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new KFC fried chicken nuggets now, available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.